Hello and welcome to the Mind Meat Podcast. I'm Mick Meredith, and the big word of the week is usufruct. Usufruct. U-S-U-F-R-U-C-T. The right to use and enjoy the profits and advantages of something belonging to another, as long as the property is not damaged or altered in any way. Usufruct. So if you did actually damage it, it'd be called usufruct up. I like these big words. Never run out of big words. There's an idea, you know. I should have a bigger vocabulary when I started doing this, but is it getting any bigger, really? I mean, the biggest word, this is the hard... I'm a really good speller. That's one of my gifts. I'm a good speller, but I still don't know how to spell diarrhea. That's a hard word to spell. Think about that in your head, diarrhea. It's a lot of weird lettering in there. And I'll tell you the story of diarrhea. My mate Dean Atkinson and I, we first met on cruise ships. He's a comedian, ventriloquist. I'm a comic, comedian, guitar player, whatever you want to call me these days. And you get a little tag to put in your door that says, tidy up your room or snoozing. Now, in Dean's cabin, he obviously didn't have that tag, so he had to write it out on a piece of paper, and it was a torn piece of paper. It was a pathetic piece of paper, and he wrote on it, snoozing. And in my immature world, I decided to turn it over and write wanking. But I laughed and giggled for 10 minutes, and I had to slide it back into the slot. To show wanking. And, you know, we laughed and laughed and laughed. So that was our thing. We used to write little notes and leave it on in the keyhole of the door on the cruise ships. Until at least one night I was a bit drunk and Dean had gone to bed and I was pissed as a fart, actually. And... I was trying to write... please clean cabin, explosive diarrhea inside. But it fucking took me hours to try and write diarrhea. I didn't know how to spell diarrhea. And then Bev Killick walked past, another comic. See me, I was crying, I was red in the face. And then we were both trying to work out how to write explosive diarrhea. Diarrhea, I know how to write explosive. And we finally slipped it in the door, and then Dean answered the door in his underpants. What are you doing? And then we explained it to him. Kind of the joke's over, but he just went, ah, but left it in there anyway. Can't remember if it said, please clean the cabin, explosive diarrhea, or just explosive diarrhea. Anyway, Dean thought it was funny. He said, ah, leave it in there. That's funny. So then I'm lying in my cabin. We're like wall-to-wall cabins. Then I hear this knocking on the door. Excuse me, sir. It was the cabin steward going, excuse me, sir, have you got explosive diarrhea? So I've got up in my undies. Dean's up in his undies. No, it's a joke. It's a joke. So you don't have explosive diarrhea? No, he didn't have explosive diarrhea. And the point of that story is I still don't know how to spell diarrhea. Let's get into the podcast. Hello, welcome to the Mind Meat Podcast. I'm Mick Meredith, and I am sitting in Melbourne in a hotel room, Ridges, on Exhibition Street, classy little hotel, doing a corporate gig tonight for the Plumbers Co-op with Brendan Favola and Andrew Daddo. And, I don't think any of them are German, but language of this week is German. I hope I'm teaching people something, because some of these I know. Everyone should know. German, hello in German, is Guten Tag. Guten Tag to all the German people out there. I love a sausage. I love a German sausage. So yes, I am in a hotel, and as soon as I get in a hotel, I like to order some room service because I didn't have any lunch. I fucking had the curried egg sandwiches, and they were actually sandwiches this time, not wraps. On the Virgin flight down, but I ordered classic Caesar salad. Classic Caesar salad. I tell you what, the old chef, he must have had an excess of croutons. Fuck me dead. I counted them, 906 croutons in there. I ate them all too, don't worry about that. Every time I order room service from a hotel, the person on the end of the phone is shocked that I've rang them. I always find it, hello, hello? In-room dining? Yes, I'd like to order some room service. Okay. Always seem shocked. And then the guy that delivers it, or girl, always seems shocked as well. Like I've answered the door. Like I opened the door and he was like really shocked. I guess. Maybe he was, yeah, no, I had pants on. Maybe he thought I wasn't going to have pants on. Anyway, that's what I ordered because the company's paying for it. Yes. So I am in a hotel room in Melbourne, pre-gig. I had me room service, and I'm having a beer now doing this podcast. Brought the podcast gear down to the room. I thought I'd seize the day, get the day done. I'll walk around the Melbourne a little bit. I love Melbourne. Jeez, love Melbourne. Jeez, it's cold in Melbourne. I'm a hat wearer, a major hat wearer, but I thought, you know what? I'm sick of wearing my hat. Always lose hats. It's not that cold in Sydney. I get here, my fucking head nearly froze off walking down Bourke Street. Jesus. Nearly bought a shirt. I tried on a shirt. Now I'm a big guy, but I've been losing weight. I tried on a shirt XL. It fitted me. I nearly bought it. I didn't. It was I didn't think about it. You know, I said no. I put it back on the shelf. Hung it back up. Now, I'm that guy, like, because I went in and tried on a few shirts and you got to get the little coloured tag off the girl or the guy that works in the dressing room there. How many have you got? I got three. Gives you a little yellow three. And then I finish. I neatly put them back on the hangers again. And as I walk out, she goes, are you going to buy some of those? I went, no, I'm going to buy these. She goes, I just leave them on the rack and I put them back. And I said, no, I'll put them back. I'm that guy. I put them back. I did a shift at Target today. Jesus. But I went to the Virgin Lounge pre-flight down here because I'm a Virgin Lounge member. Still don't feel comfortable in there. I sat next to these YouTube sensation guys. I don't know their names, but I've seen it on a friend's Facebook page. Had took a daughter to see these YouTube English guys, Matt and Phil or something. I don't know. Knew them straight away as soon as I seen them from the photos. And yeah, she paid $480 for VIP tickets to meet them, and they were just sitting next to me talking shit. Just talking shit. So, there you go. But I got the plane down. The arrogant guy. I'm a aisle seat guy. Like, when I'm flying, I'm an aisle seat guy. I like to sit in the aisle seat. But it had already been booked at the window, and I didn't change it. I thought, I don't care. It wasn't full. The lady at the Virgin counter tried it, because I got there early. We talked about this last week, how we get there. She said, you're so early, you can get the flight before if you want. I went, oh, no, it's all right. Can't check into the hotel till 2. You sure? She's trying to talk me into it. No, I thought I'd sit in the Virgin Lounge with kids running around like mental cases there. Instead of playing around where I was sitting. What's on my face that says, yes, kids, I'm happy. Run around me. Run around me and make lots of noise while I eat my toasted ham and cheese sandwich. Anyway, I get on the plane. And there's a guy sitting in the aisle seat. Oh, this is an awkward moment, you know. G'day, mate. Yeah, I got the window. Yeah, man, I got the window. He rolls his eyes. And I notice in the middle seat, he's got all his shit there. Got all his books. Got his newspaper. He's got his man bag. I just looked at them and fucking, you can't claim that yet, mate. You don't know no one's sitting there. You don't know I want to put my shit on there. I was annoyed and he was reading Labyrinth, the book. I remember the movie with David Bowie. Is the book any good? Isn't it a kid's book? He's a man in a business suit. Why is he in business class? So anyway, I just sat there and I was actually too scared because I normally do that. I'm the guy that puts the shit, but I wait till I know no one's sitting there. I put my shit in the middle. I'm like, oh, spare seat. I'm going to put my shit on there. Anyway, the steward came around. What do you call them? The hostess? Hostie? They came around and he was quite rude, the guy. Just sort of kind of ignored her when she asked, do you want a drink? He didn't want to talk. He was a shithead. He's what I used to be. And anyway, behind me was Pokey in the back lady. Jeez, I don't fucking get that on planes. Just poking me in the back. What is she doing back there? She fucking doing exercise, doing a bit of fat yoga. I've seen fat yoga on the TV when I was in the lounge. There's a new fad called fat yoga. It's like a large lady teaching yoga to large other women. Not many blokes are doing it, she says, but big ladies doing fat yoga. I'm thinking about doing drunk yoga. I'm going to write a joke on drunk yoga, the downward dog or the downward vom. But anyway, the safety announcement comes on. No one watches the safety announcement anymore. Everyone's fucking too safe, I think. I think there should be just like fucking loud bang just as the safety announcement goes, fucking watch this. I always watch the safety announcement because they say, turn off your devices and watch the safety announcement. Just in case, I mean, I watch it. I should know it word for word. I fly more than most people, but I watch it. Large headphones on planes. What's with the fucking, I get the whole noise cancelling shit, but old blokes, like 70-year-old blokes with noise cancelling headphones. What does he need noise cancelling? He's deaf. If he's 70, he's fucking deaf. I'm 50 and I'm deaf. Huge. What with technology now, why are headphones getting bigger? Everything else is getting smaller. Our phones are getting bigger, actually, again. But I like the whole intro on planes. When I think they only do it on Virgin, actually. Qantas, maybe. Qantas are too cranky. When they announce your captain today is blah, 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 and blah, 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 and then I'm the head hostess, steward, whatever you want to call it, and down the aisle is blah, 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 blah. Then they should introduce everyone by name and everyone waves. I should introduce the whining fucking kid sitting behind me as well. He was whining like a fucking newborn puppy, this kid, just, wah! Why do they have to sit him next to me? I thought to myself, I'd be better off down in the cargo bit with an actual whining puppy because I could sit there and pat it. I don't want to pat the kid. Oh, I'm sounding cranky today. What's wrong with me? I worked out I don't do anything during takeoff. Nothing. I don't read. I don't listen to music. I stare ahead or out the window. That's it. That's me. I don't do anything. I noticed that today. That was quite strange. I was going to tell you a story then, but I better not. I don't know, like jinx my luck. Now, I'm not famous, but I understand fame. I don't like fame. Fame's a good thing sometimes. I'll explain it in a little bit. But I've been doing comedy now for 20 years, had mild success, been on the TV a little bit, but people kind of tend to think they know me. People just start talking to me by name, and I don't know who they are. Like this guy today just started talking to me. Where you going, Mick? Instead of just going, where you off to, mate? Then it's just a conversation between two people. This is like, oh, where you off to, mate? And where you off to, Mick? Immediately I knew that he knew me, but I didn't know fucking who he was. And I feel bad that I didn't know who he was. It happens all the time. People just start randomly talking to me, and I'm like, fucking, I'm just doing laps in my head going, who's this guy, who's this guy, who's this guy? And then I try to weave into the conversation of how I might know them. And I never do. I never know who they are. And the point of, I was with them YouTube guys, and they're famous for being on YouTube. What's with that shit? The only good thing about being mildly famous or, you know, D-grade famous like I am is if I am somewhere alone and someone starts talking to me as if they know me, I feel, yeah, I can start chatting. But other than that, I don't think there's anything good about fame. Just famous, you know. And also this, I don't know what I'm fucking talking about this week. I thought this was going to be much better. The Olympics are over for another 4 years, and I don't think these Olympics were boring, but I just never got into them. I normally get into the Olympics. My sister loves the Olympics, but I never got into them. This is my summary of what I managed to take in during the Olympics. This is it, quickly. Usain Bolt, fucking awesome. Hope he's not on drugs. Ryan Lochte, cockhead. Isn't he like 32? He's the one that faked the robbery. Who dyes their hair grey? He had grey hair. What'd you fucking dye your hair grey for? We won the women's rugby sevens. I think we're a little bit shit at swimming these days. We didn't get into the finals of the hockey. I used to be a hockey player, so I was a bit of a fan of that. It was always seemed to be raining every time I watched the athletics. And this is what stood out for me and stood out for this bloke in the Olympics, that the guy that did the pole vault, his cock touched the crossbar. That was the biggest story in the Olympics for me. Did the crossbar fall off? His cock touched the crossbar. That's the summary of the Olympics for me. Well, I'm in the process of trying to get my house ready to rent out, going to rent my house out. And I fancy myself, at the beginning of this story, I fancied myself as a bit of a handyman. I mean, I love Bunnings. I love going to Bunnings. I could walk around Bunnings all day with a sausage sandwich. But I'm a shit handyman. I spent all day trying to fix a lock on a screen door. Because the screen door I bought, it never worked. The lock never worked. And then I was in Bunnings the other day and I walked down the aisle and I seen the exact same screen door lock as my screen door lock. And I thought I could just change that and fix that. Fucking all day trying to put it in. All day trying to put this lock in. Could not work out how to do it. Going to have to ring someone now and pay them as a man to another man. Or might be a woman. Handy woman. I don't care if it's a handy woman. She can come around. She can fix me locks. But I changed the screens. Felt a little bit masculine. Mowed the lawn. Well, that's, you know, I do that all the time. But I am fucking handyman. How do you become a good handyman? Is it just in your DNA? I mean, my trade is painting, which is probably the lowest form of trades. I'm very good at it. I should have done another trade. Because you just can't, when you're a painter, you don't learn other little bits and pieces. Like if you're a plumber, you can earn little bits and pieces of other trades. Carpenter, other little bits and pieces of other trades. But then again, if I did all that, if I would have done one of those trades instead, maybe I wouldn't have made it to the end of the apprenticeship. My parents made me go to the end of the apprenticeship. I really didn't want to go to anything because I hate painting, but I'm good at it. I'm good at the. But the thing is, I'm less masculine because I don't know how to be a handyman. I want to be more of a handyman around the house, fix shit. There's a lot of stuff to fix before the place gets rented out. But going to have to ring. I'm going to have to ring a handyman because I'm not a handyman. Does it make me less of a man? I also dropped a door on my toe. Now, I've never been a fan of steel cap toes. I think they're a little bit excessive. Fuck, but I learned a lesson. I unscrewed the screen door to put a new screen on because it's easy to do when it's lying down. And I dropped the screen door on my big toe. Fuck, it hurt. I thought it went straight through. I'm going to lose the toenail. I'm going to lose the toenail. I've never lost a toenail. It's black now. It's going black. What are nails for anyway? I don't even understand they're for. I don't get the whole nail thing. So I've looked it up. Toenails. What are nails for? Does anyone know what a nail is for? They're just there. My theory is it looked nice, I suppose. And if you didn't have nails, especially on your fingers, or your toes actually, there's just weird little pink nubs or brown nubs, whatever your skin tone. But this is what I looked it up. This is the reasons why we have toenails and fingernails. Number one, they provide counter pressure on our toes that help with balance and spatial awareness. Example, I've been trained in thinning toenails that thicken due to a variety of health issues. Patients report that they are then less painful, help them walk with a steadier gait, help with balance, and one gentleman said he could now dance again without fear of falling. See, I didn't really read this. They're just taking the piss. Number two, attractiveness. Some people are attracted to a nice-looking set of toenails. I know someone that's attracted to toenails or toes. Others seem to prefer to paint them. Three, there are some diseases that change the appearance and or reaction of the toenails. Therefore, they can be one of many signs that a medical practitioner uses. Sometimes they may be the first sign that makes someone look for other things. So it's a warning signal, the toenail. Four, some say that they help hold the end of the toe together, keep them from cracking. That's bullshit. They might help to protect the toe, the tip of the toe. They might help to protect the tip of the bones of the toe. So that's what I looked up on the internet with what's going on with toenails. If you know more about toenails or nails, just tweet me, Mick_Meredith, so I can know what fucking toenails are all about. I spend a lot of time in hotel rooms. I don't take full advantage of hotel rooms. I should do more of it, you know. My mate Dean Atkinson, jeez, I talk about him a lot. I think I'm in love with him. Used to be all about the girlfriend, now it's all about Dino. He got me onto buying club sandwiches, room service. He said, you're an idiot if you're not getting room service. I hadn't had room service up until 3 years ago, except when I was, you know, shit-faced and I would order it and I didn't remember it and I'd just wake up in the morning, there'd be a tray there. But he said, as soon as you get into a hotel, you've got to order room service. I'm like, fuck, I've never had room service. What, should I be having room service? Yeah, you should be having room service. And, I don't take full advantage of being in hotels. I always get room service now. This is my experience in rooms, in hotel rooms. I get there, I sit there, I usually have a sleep, watch a bit of TV, try to work out how the remote works, stare at that console on the wall. It says audio, video, audio PC, HDMI, power, with all the things you can plug in there. Why is it still there? It's very old school. Or that thing that's on the counter or on your table. It plugs into your computer. Don't know why that's still there. It's very old school. The phone, very old school. But this is the biggest problem I have when I'm in a hotel room, especially when I'm going to bed. I don't know how to turn the fucking lights off. Like, I'll get in and be into my undies, go and have a sleep, and just think, I'll just reach over and hit this button and all the lights will go out. An hour later, I'm still fucking unplugging shit. Fucking, why is the light still on? Or sometimes the cupboards have a light in it and I work this one out. People out there, sliding cupboard doors are evil when it comes to hotel rooms, because if you slide the doors the wrong way, I found out. I had to ring the front desk. I says, I can't get to sleep because my sliding cupboard door light won't go out. And they said, yeah, you've got the doors the wrong way around. I had the doors, they should have been sliding to the left or the right, and the light went out. So there's a tip for you people out there. Next time you're in a hotel room and you can't sleep because the fucking cupboard door's still open or on, light, they slide the other way. See, I'm teaching you shit. I'm teaching you shit all the time. I mentioned in a podcast a while back that massive heavy metal fan, but I'm not all heavy metal. I'm gonna talk about this guy now that just fucking changed my life. Fucking songwriting style just makes me smile every time I hear his words. I've seen him live twice. The great Frank Turner is an English. Oh, well, he's a folk punk, acoustic rock, alternative rock singer. I don't know what you call him, singer-songwriter. You know, not a great singer, but great songwriter. I mean, I probably listen to Frank Turner more than anything in the world, probably more than metal. If you don't know who Frank Turner, he's an English gentleman, born in Bahrain, apparently. And I discovered him 6 years. I don't even know how I discovered him, but I connected with him straight away, maybe 7 years ago. He was the lead singer in the A Million Dead post-hardcore band. What's the fucking post-hardcore band? They're just a hardcore band, aren't they? That makes me post good looking. I don't know. Fucked if I know. But yeah, he his words, he can write some songs. He can, yeah. He was a massive Iron Maiden fan, actually. So there's the connection between me and him. But he's had many albums out over the years. Love Ire and the Song was the first album I got hold of where, you know, he usually records with a band. He records with a band, but he does a lot of solo tracks on the album, which I found, you know, just a wordsmith. Go and check him out. Poetry of the Deed was his next album. What else has he got? England Keep My Bones was the next album. Tape Deck Heart, great album. All great albums. His most recent album, which I didn't like at first, but it really grew on me, Positive Songs for Negative People, which came out a couple of years ago and just got it on full rotation all the time in my home. And it was a great connection with Frank Turner and My Girl. I played in Frank Turner. Apparently it melted her heart when she heard, I told her about the line. There's this great line about, I don't even remember what song it is, Substitute, I think it is. Many different girls inside my bed, but only one or two inside my head. And I told her that described me. She's still here to this day. So go out and check Frank Turner out. He is, mate, if you don't like him, get fucked. We need to talk because you're wrong. And, of course, goodbye in German is Auf Wiedersehen. Auf Wiedersehen? Auf Wiedersehen. I don't know how to say it. I didn't look it up on the Heery thing. I just Googled it and Auf Wiedersehen. So it's goodbye from everyone here. It's just me, actually. From the Mind Mead podcast, wrap your listening tunnels around this next time. Goodbye.